Welcome to Ship to Shore with Silverman. I'm your host, Fran Silverman, the talk radio advocate, and the show is all about cruises. And today my guest is Nicholas Sardana III, president of Compass Speakers and Entertainment, the world's leading provider of enrichment personnel to the luxury cruise industry. The company is based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, since 1997, and the website is compassspeakers.com. That's C-O-M-P-A-S-S, speakers.com. Nicholas, welcome to the program. Oh, and you're there with Jennifer, too.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Nicholas and Jennifer, you place personnel such as speakers, clergy, that's Catholic, Protestant, rabbis, watercolor artists, instructors, gentlemen hosts, and dance instructors aboard cruise ships.
Correct.
Now, I know you require a DVD of the speaker's most recent speaking engagement, a bio, a resume, a photo, a list of proposed titles and references, but you rely heavily on a gut feeling. Now, out of 1,000 inquiries, you may only choose about 50. Can you give us an idea of who you accepted on a gut feeling? Is it generally the person or the topic that's rejected?
I think I'll let Jennifer answer that because she handles the enrichment personnel division here in the office, so she's dealing with a lot of those scenarios on a day-to-day basis. So.
Hi, Francine. Basically, it's based on a variety of elements. We look at it as an entire package. Once a candidate has sent us all of their materials, we review them as a whole. Then comes the interview process, either in person or via phone. We try to meet everybody in person, however, though, because we're interviewing candidates from all across the country, all across the world, we can do the interviews via phone as well. All of these components are taken into consideration. We're looking for an expert basically in their field, someone who enjoys relaying that expertise to others in a very informative, educational, and fun way. The DVD gives us a way to assess the lecturer and their presentation style, and the interview gives us the opportunity to better get to know them and what brought them to that field. It's definitely a process, and we are very meticulous about it.
Yeah, it's very comprehensive, and when we say DVD, it's also fine if they have a link on YouTube or that. It's just that we want to be able to see them in a speaking environment, whether they spoke on the local circuit as far as through National Speakers Association or something. It's just we want to have some type of visual on them as far as their presentation skills, so.
I see. But you had written me that the Gentleman Host program was the most difficult to find, right?
It's not the most difficult to find. It's probably the most comprehensive application process, and the reason for that is that there's multiple steps that they have to follow. The first one is, of course, they have to be an excellent dancer. Before we start the official process, we actually will have them meet with a dance reviewer where we have several throughout Canada, England, here in the U.S., and then we'll receive that report back from the dance reviewer directly on their level of skills. Then the next step is we'll also have them meet with one of our existing gentleman hosts, and hopefully there's one close to them or in the city that they live. But if not, it would be their responsibility to meet that existing gentleman host, and then we'll get his report as well. And then, of course, we do the background check, which is pretty much a requirement now for all the cruise lines and for all the different categories of enrichment personnel. And once we have all of that information, then the actual process here in the office begins, and Tracy Robeson in our office handles that division. So it's a very time-consuming process. It's not where the individual can put together, you know, the DVD, the JPEG photo, the resume, and send it to us, and that starts the process here, whether if it was for, let's say, a clergy application or for a speaker application. The dance process is just much more time-consuming. And then we work with them. If the dance reviewer comes back and says they need to polish up on, you know, the cha-cha or the waltz or that, then it doesn't end the application process there, because if they can improve and then we get the review back, then we'll work with them and move forward with that. So, and that's why I mentioned it's a much more detailed hiring process.
Well, if it's a gentleman host's first time, will they definitely have a DVD?
They would have to have, if they do not meet a dance reviewer, let's say logistically it's not possible because they're 500-600 miles away from a dance studio or that, then we would need the DVD. We would not, our company policy here is that either one of them would be required for us to consider them, because we can't take we can't take what they say. You know, if they say they're an excellent dancer and they've been dancing for 10 years, that equates to nothing to us. We need proof of that, because what they may think they're a great dancer, but it may not be the standards that we need on board the ship.
Does every cruise line have gentlemen hosts?
No, actually, no.
No, because I was on a cruise. I don't remember anybody dancing.
Which is a good point. I mean, I wish they did have them on more cruises. The cruise lines that have them on every single sailing would be Cunard and Crystal Cruises. And then occasionally Regent has them on voyages, their extended voyages, or their such as a World Cruise or Circle South America. But it's a great program because there's so many single ladies, you know, traveling on board, and they love it. I mean, it really, you know.
Well, I'd like to mention that your gentleman host program was recently featured in the Huffington Post, and it brought a tremendous response from potential candidates.
Yes, it was an article that came out a few months ago, and it actually went viral, which was interesting to see because AOL, I think, picked it up and a few other websites. It was
If anybody wants to read it, go to HuffingtonPost.com and in the search box at the top, type in the article title, Cruise Ships Answer to Lonely Ladies, Gentlemen Hosts.
We've had some wonderful feedback from them, so it was very helpful.
Yeah, well, that's in the Huffington Post. You get a lot of exposure. Now, when you play somebody for the first time, I don't know if this is for Jennifer or you, how do you determine if they were good? Because you wrote to me that the presenter is not allowed to hand out forms to guests to fill out.
Correct. Actually, I'll let Jennifer answer that.
Basically, we and our cruise lines understand how important it is to provide feedback to our lecturers. So we get both a numerical rating and or feedback, written feedback from the cruise line. We realize it may be subjective, but it's a good indicator. It gives us that ability to assess that lecture in some way. So that numerical rating, some lines have the numerical rating, some lines give us written feedback, some lines we get both. And basically we take all of that into consideration, and that's how we determine if they were good. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we will no longer place them. It just means that maybe they don't fit within that cruise line's, with those passengers of that cruise line. They could be very good on another cruise line.
Yeah, we've had cases where someone who, let's say, rates the scale normally is on a scale of 10, let's say rates a 9 on board one of the luxury lines we work with, for example, let's say Crystal, but then we've put them on a smaller product such as Seabourn or Silver Sea, and they rate, let's say, an 8.2 or an 8.3. Usually the minimum to be invited back is an 8.5, and sometimes socializing is a big factor in it. Some ships are a bit more academic than others, so because we have been doing this for so many years now, we really work with the individual and try to coach them on how to be, you know, successful on that particular product. Just because you lecture on one ship doesn't mean you'll necessarily be as successful on another ship. And then we also ask for the speaker's feedback in a report, as well as all clergy, as well as all the watercolor artists and the host, because we want to know what time they were scheduled, which room they were scheduled in, did the ship have any large groups on board, because sometimes you might have, let's say, the Forbes group on, where they have half the ship in meetings with their own speakers, so attendance at our speakers event is not as well attended, or in another case, which is becoming more and more prevalent these days, is the international mix. You might go on a cruise and have 200, 300, 400 Brazilians, as an example. So here you are presenting a topic in English, and the ship only holds 540 guests, which means you're only catering to those 240 guests. So there's a lot of factors like that. So we always look at both sides of the story. And usually, I think, Jennifer, we'll base it on an average of 3 cruises, and that'll give us a good barometer on the caliber of the speaker.
So, in other words, you never ask the people that are attending the lectures what
no,
they think.
They get, at the end of each cruise, a guest comment form, which, amazingly, compared to the hotel industry, the cruise lines strive for a return of about 50%. And you have 2 options on the comment form. Sometimes the speaker is listed individually, which then results with a numerical value for us. Or it could just be the enrichment program or the artist program or the gentleman host in more generic. And then there's a comment section so people can, you know, write the pros and cons to what they enjoyed on board. So that's all calculated at the end of each cruise. And so the cruise lines calculate the guest comment feedback on a cruise-by-cruise basis. It's quite an intense program that several of the cruise lines use. Some cruise lines actually outsource it, and then it trickles down to the different departments at the head office, and eventually some of that information is shared with us as well. So feedback is extremely important to us because we want to make sure that the whole program is successful and whoever that we send out is also successful.
Yeah, what is the percentage of those that get invited back?
We strive for excellence.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
It's very high. I mean, that's one of the things. We look to put out successful lectures. We want them to go out again. We want the invitations back from the cruise line. So basically, you know, we have a pretty high return success rate, not only because the lecturer wants to go out, but because the cruise lines want them to come back out.
Okay. So the topics for anybody that's interested, The basic topics are politics, world affairs, globalization, and then special interest, including TV, radio, forensic science, and then there's destination-related presentations such as art history, culture history, music, and world affairs. And your art programs, I know, are very successful, especially the watercolor.
Yes. Yeah. Over the last, I'd say, 2-3 years now, the cruise ship itineraries, especially in Europe, have become very port intensive. So on a typical, whether it's a 7-8 to 12-day cruise itinerary, you may only end up having 1 sea day or 1.5 sea days. So the number one requested topic is always going to be a destination speaker. And then following that would be a destination-related speaker. If they have more sea days, that's when we'll add on additional programming. So, and we usually, for the special interest speakers, follow a lot of the trends, which I'll let Jennifer expand on.
The destination, I'm just going to kind of revert back a little bit, but the destination lectures, they're there to bring a greater insight to the ports of call in the region the ship is sailing to, and they'll generally touch on the historical and cultural aspects of that region. The destination-related speaker is typically what they will do is they will relate something that seems special interest, like art history, music, marine biology, world affairs, and they'll relate it back to that region. So the world affairs is not general world affairs. It's going to relate to maybe the Mediterranean region, like the EU, the European Union. The destination that's the destination-related speaker. And then we have a myriad of other special interest topics that we also look for that you were just, that Nicholas was just discussing about. They're going to be, it's something that's going to be in current culture. Like forensic pathology, it's such a fascinating thing for many people. It basically, it intrigues the guests. This is what we're looking for in our special interest openings, the topic matter that intrigues, that really pulls in the audience, that keeps their attention.
What is it? Forensic what?
Forensic pathology. Forensic.
Oh, forensic.
Like
pathology.
CSI, all of the shows that are on the on TV right now, like CSI and Criminal Minds and all those great shows. It's something so intriguing that really keeps people's attention.
Oh, so then you're looking for doctors.
Doctors can be part of it, but again, just because someone is an expert in a certain field, doesn't necessarily mean they're a good speaker.
Right.
So that's why we want the DVD, or we'll look at their speeches they may have done at medical conferences that usually have been posted to YouTube and so on. And sometimes you can get a doctor or an expert, and they're just too academic, or in some cases they're not mesmerizing with their topic matter. So
yeah, that's
so
true.
We look at that because
they know the subject doesn't mean they're a good speaker. That's
exactly.
True.
Yeah.
Now, unlike other cruise lines, on luxury cruises, speakers are accommodated in an outside stateroom or a luxury suite and provided with full guest status. What does that mean, full guest status?
Jennifer?
Full guest status is basically, it means that they can utilize all of the things that the full revenue passenger is going to be able to utilize, like the gym. They're going to be able to go to the spa. Of course, all of those that incur an additional fee, they will be responsible for as well. It's basically saying they're not crew, although they're going to be technically working on board because they're going to be doing their lectures, their presentations, all of the additional socializing aspects and things like that. But they're viewed as a passenger. They're viewed as a full, a full guest status.
And they stay aboard anywhere from 7 to 110 days?
Correct. They could be on a 7-day Caribbean voyage, a full world cruise at 110 days, or something in between to the Baltic, South America. We book on transatlantic crossings, Panama Canal transits, to Asia, to even the Holy Land. All exceptionally wonderful experiences. We have lecturers, instructors, gentlemen hosts that have sailed for full or long segments of world cruises. They come back with amazing stories. This is really the exciting part of my job, of our company, of all of our jobs here. It's the opportunity to hear of all the lifelong relationships made, to hear their stories of their journeys, to see the pictures, and to hear the excitement to return.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So does the same lecturer speak every day for 110 days?
No. No, because on 110-day sailing, that's usually, we're talking about a world cruise. We're talking about that long. So lots of sea days. They're going to have a multitude of lectures on board. Say, on a world cruise sailing, they may have 10 or 15 lectures on that whole.
Oh, they have to have various lectures.
Correct.
I see.
Right, and they're not going to repeat. On something like a world cruise, you're not going to repeat. You're not going to repeat lectures, the same lecture over and over and over, because those passengers are, there's so many full world cruise passengers that stay on that whole time.
And also, the 110 days of the full world cruise scenario usually works well, for example, with an artist because
instructor.
Or an instructor, because they can, teach so many different types of, whether it's dance classes or art classes. Also with the clergy, because of, you have a congregation on board, so rather than change the Catholic priest every segment, it's more conducive to have them on for the entire world cruise.
Clergy,
the artists, there are a few lectures, a handful of lectures that could do a world cruise because they have that many, many talks, but that's far and few between as far as, you'd have to have on a 110-day world cruise at least 40, 50 talks, so, and that type of lecture really has to be dynamic, because I think some of the guests would lose interest after hearing their 10th or 11th talk.
And not only that, but rotating the lectures out, it keeps everything on board a positive vibe. It keeps the, you know, everybody interested.
Yeah, and if they like the lecture, they're going to come back for more, and they'd want to hear something different. They wouldn't want to hear the same lecture over and over again.
Yeah, they would never repeat any lecture again unless there was a scheduling conflict or something that happened. I think that's pretty much the policy on all the ships. But with the technology these days, a lot of the lectures are taped and then rebroadcast on the in-room televisions. And some of them, because of the video on demand, you can actually, you know, watch them at your leisure, or some ships have them scheduled at certain times. So although you may not have all the guests sitting in the showroom listening to your lecture, there might be about a third of them watching it on TV.
Oh, I get you. Okay. Because I didn't see that on the Oasis of the Seas. I don't think they had that. But I guess when it's too big, the ship is just too big.
Oasis is about, it's like its own floating city. But generally, the shorter cruises don't have these additional programs.
A week cruise, is it considered a short cruise?
The Oasis would be a 7-day cruise, so that for us would be a short cruise, and because of the number of sea days, and also certain of the mass market lines, you know, they're more interested in having, you know, increasing their revenue, so they want them in your casino, or they want them
families,
you know, paying for specialty restaurants or paying for special courses that they're being offered on board by, you know, certain affiliations that they may have launched with such a new vessel. So,
do you book river cruises too?
No, river cruises we do not, and river cruises are handled a bit differently. I happened to do one last Christmas on the Rhine, and it was interesting to see how they book their lectures and their entertainment. And basically what happened there is every time we pulled into port, someone from that local city, whether it was a speaker or whether it was a band or a duo or a classical act, would come on board and then disembark before we'd sail onto the next port. So it's run completely differently.
Oh, I see. So then they do have speakers, but they don't hire from...
They do have speakers, but they're locals, and by doing that, then they don't have to give up any of their cabin space on board because the person's actually not staying on board.
Oh, I see. So they get on and they get off.
Exactly.
I got you. You wanted to talk about the ship industry as a whole, safe cruising?
Yes, it's been an interesting year, and and I personally, you know, having been on so many ships and having worked on so many ships, I mean, I still feel that cruising is one of the safest ways to travel, and unfortunately, I think this year they've gotten a lot of negative press, but it's just a fantastic way to spend a vacation and to explore the world, and there's so much to see. And
yeah, you just came back from a transatlantic trip.
Correct.
Celebrate your dad's 75th birthday.
Yes, we had a wonderful time, and it was from Fort Lauderdale to Amsterdam, so it was a 2-minute drive from my house, and then 15 days across the ocean. So.
Oh. Did your dad enjoy it?
Yep, no, he had. He's a cruiser as well, and he enjoyed the whole experience and celebrating his 75th birthday on board. So they did a great job.
Yeah, and you also were on the National Geographic Endeavour to the Galapagos.
Yes,
which is called an amazing experience.
That is a very unique experience and highly recommended to anyone. And of course, National Geographic does a wonderful job. They're on board enrichment team, which includes photographers and scientists and naturalists. They had about a team of 20, and I think, if my memory is correct, the ship only held about just over 100 guests. So they had a very hands-on team for everyone that was sailing.
But they don't leave from Fort Lauderdale, do they?
No, actually. No, unfortunately not. No, it meant flying to Ecuador and then on to the Galapagos. So
now you have you're working with 40 cruise ships, which has 60 actually, because it's they have 60 ships. 40 cruise lines have 60 ships, so.
No, we handle all the luxury lines, so I think that's just over. There's about 10 luxury lines that we deal with, and if we add up all the vessels, it works out to about 60 ships.
Okay. Well, we have about a minute. If there's anything you'd like to add,
Jennifer,
I just want to say that it's Compass Speakers. I had the website here, and compassspeakers.com. Anybody that is a destination expert or a forensic pathologist who can speak well.
Basically, all, you know, special interest, it's such a wide-ranging wording. There's so many areas of expertise that fall under special interest, but basically we're looking at areas of expertise that are intriguing to the guest. So it could be forensics, it could be art history, it could be marine biology. We even, because we do some themed lectures throughout the year on the different cruise lines that we book on, it could be a wellness lecture as well. It's someone that has that expertise. It's not necessarily just talking about, you know, eating better, but having that knowledge, having that expertise, having the qualifications to really speak on that subject matter, because the person is going to have to, you know, do a short Q&A at the end of their lecture. So they really need that knowledge to be able to speak offhand, to be able to answer the questions to the guests.
Mm-hmm. Now, I once had a chocolate expert on who went on cruises, and she spoke about her chocolate designs, and she was very popular.
I'm sure.
Nicholas and Jen, I want to thank you so much for being on my show. You were terrific.
Thank you.
Learned so much.
Thank you very much.
I only wish I had the knowledge that I could
be on
a cruise ship.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Take good care. Bye bye.
Okay. Have a great summer.
You too.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to Ship to Shore with Silverman with your host, talk radio advocate Fran Silverman. Please visit my website at talkradioadvocate.com. I have 16 ebooks of talk radio shows. And if you like the show and you have any suggestions or comments, please email me at franalive@optonline.net. My guest today was Nicholas Sardana III. He is president of Compass Speakers and Entertainment. And he brought along Jennifer Korn, who's the director of onboard programs in the Richmond division. And if you have any specialty, they are open to it. So I would suggest that you look them up at compassspeakers.com. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.